The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And a very good morning to you. And being that it is a Thursday, the text lines and WhatsApp numbers are open. Actually, coincidentally enough, I was just looking back through loads of stuff that we got in with the Green Room, and of course our vets and our pets as well. It's amazing. When it comes to the Green Room, most of the stuff that comes in is via text, with the exception of the pictures that we get for the various different plants that we pass on to Yvonne. And then on the vets and their pet slot, most of the questions come in via WhatsApp and less on text. Strange but true. There you go. Some useless information, Yvonne O'Connor. How are you?
Interesting. I'm very well, thank you, John.
Okay. Now, the weather has dramatically changed, and the only reason why I'm saying it, because there was definitely a 13-degree dip since the last time we talked to you. So, in the context of that week, I would say, if anything, it's probably enhanced flowering and enhanced flowers, because there was a good bit of rain as well.
Yeah, and it was badly needed. I mean, from a plant's point of view, we definitely needed that drop around. The ground was gone very, very hard, and you know, it's very difficult for plants to take up food when they haven't enough water. So, you know, we were supplementary watering, as we were recommending last week and the week before, but the rain has come now. Now, just be careful. If you have containers, just make sure that the rain just... The containers would be full of plants, and water sometimes will land on the plants and actually not get below leaf, the canopy of the plants, if you know what I mean, in that it'll sort of, you know, bounce off the leaves and not actually get into the compost. So even though we've had rain, don't say, oh, I don't need to water. You know, rain is the very best thing for plants, of course it is, but you still might need to supplementary water. And don't just think to yourself, ah, I don't need to water anything just because it's rained. Not true.
Okay. Now, do you know what I was doing during the course of the week when I was getting ready for our usual slot that we talk every Thursday? I was looking at a great article which I came across in the UK. Now, look, to be honest with you, I think the UK weather is very similar to Ireland, and it was based on the East Coast, which would be very similar, or the East Coast of Ireland and West Coast of England. And it was things to do and get ready for August. Things to consider in the garden, and it was just all about getting your, you know, what to do regarding fruit and veg gardens and cut away and old yellow foliage and stuff like that. So from your perspective, we are moving into August now, which means basically we are leaving the best of the warm weather behind us in real terms. It mightn't necessarily do much damage, but what type of things regarding garden maintenance would you be looking at now?
Oh, well, if you've got, for example, let's start with the glasshouse. If you've got a small glasshouse or some covered area where you grow the likes of tomatoes and cucumbers and things like this, you just want to make sure that you defoliate the bottoms of the tomatoes. Now, be careful. Don't take off all the foliage and think this is great. You know, I don't need to water as much anymore. Plants need the foliage to manufacture food. But take any yellowing leaves off the bottom and do let a bit of light in, and make sure you can get the water down into the tomatoes. Also, be careful when you're watering, because a lot of the tomato roots will be up near the ground, and if you heavily water, you'll expose a lot of those roots, and then if you do get a hot day, of course, the roots get burned. So you can take off some, you can thin out the lower foliage of tomato plants and that, and that would be, you know, and peppers and things like that if you're in a glasshouse. Now, with regard to the vegetable garden, of course, we have had this problem of bolting, especially of brassicas. That's your kale, your broccoli, your, you know, cauliflower. These plants, an awful lot of them have bolted this year. In other words, because of the heat and the changing weather conditions, they've just gone straight to seed and not given you a decent crop to pick, you know. So, but with broccoli, for example, if the top is bolted on, sometimes you can cut the top off broccoli and it will throw out side shoots. So you'll get a second crop on the broccoli plant. And don't just think because the top is gone, you're not going to get any more broccoli. They're great for throwing out side shoots. But do take the bits off, the, you know, the broccoli heads that have now gone to seed. Lovely yellow flowers in them and everything like that, but they're flip all good to eat. You know, so to cut them off, and you should get a second crop of broccoli down lower. And onions, I mean, onions, you'll know, the ones that have bolted, you know, and people who grow onions will know this. The bolted onions will have a much stronger centre stem on them than the ones that haven't bolted. And it's something that I'm very conscious about doing. I had a lot of red onions bolting this year. Not the white onions didn't bolt, but the red onions did. And what I tend to do, John, is when I'm lifting the onions and letting them die back, First of all, you just let them die back themselves, first of all. Don't go pulling them out, you know, if they're still growing. Don't go pulling them out. But they're getting near the stage where you're going to be gently turning the tops down if the wind hasn't done it. But you'll notice the bolted ones are standing straight up. Now, those ones lift out and keep them separate from the other onions. Not because they're going to do any damage, but because they don't keep as well and they're the ones you should use first.
Okay.
So the ones that have this strong stem sticking up, and they're the ones that bolted, when you're lifting the onions, just put those ones to the side. They're quite usable, they're quite perfect, but they won't store as well as others, and they won't be as big, they won't be as good as the other onions.
Okay.
And generally speaking, I mean, that's in the veg garden. You can still put in seeds of radishes and lettuce and scallions and this kind of thing, and they'll grow slowly through the autumn. But plants do realise this at this stage, John, that autumn is coming, and they're all beginning to harden off and get ready for a winter. Now, hopefully we've got another good month of summer, at least, you know.
Yeah.
But the plants know by the day length and everything else that it's getting towards, you know, the tail end of the season.
Okay, off to Kilcock, and a question on the greenhouse that you mentioned there. And Mary was on to say that she has lots of lavender, geraniums and fuchsias in her greenhouse. Should we be starting to cut back any of these, or should she put any of them into compost?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why she has lavender in a glasshouse.
Hmm.
She's wondering.
Maybe they could be in pots or something. Could they be in pots or something?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at. I mean, with lavender, you do need to trim. If it's in a glasshouse, you will need to trim it back. It's going to go very leggy on you.
Yeah.
You will need to trim it back, and you could save some of the lovely lavender heads and have your lavender potpourri. You know. Geraniums. Yes, you'd be deadhead them, certainly deadhead them. You can put in some cuttings now if you want to sprout some cuttings, and you'll have new plants next year. You could try a few cuttings of lavender too, but not from the flowering stems. You might get a bit of success with them. So generally speaking, usually lavender would be outside. A glasshouse can be very hot for lavender, although it does thrive in hot conditions. It will tend to go leggy, and you will need to trim it back, yes. But geraniums are a different kettle of fish. I presume she's talking about the bedding geraniums. And look, at keep them dead-headed, and if you want to try a few cuttings at this time of the year, do.
Okay, now lots of questions beginning to come through. Let's start in order. First of all, good morning, guys. I have a standard rose, that's what it says here, standard rose, that did nothing this year. Is there anything I can do, or has it lost its will to live, basically, says D. Oops. You there?
John, I think we've lost our connection.
No, you're here. You're there. You're there. You're ground.
Oh, we're back again.
Okay. So, did you hear that, what I said?
I didn't. You dropped out after standard rose.
Okay, so it's standard rose that did nothing this year. Is there anything I can do, or is it a lost cause?
If it hasn't sprouted any leaves at all this year, it's a lost cause. Give it a decent burial and start again.
Straightforward. What is the best time?
Absolutely.
What is the best time to plant love in a mist seeds?
Oh, love in a mist seeds. Look at
okay,
you.
I don't know this one, so tell us a little bit about this, Yvonne, will you?
Love in a mist is this sort of cornflowery kind of plant. You know, it's lovely, blue flowers on it, beautiful, hardy annual.
Yeah.
And you would normally sow the seeds earlier in the springtime. So if you've got seeds, you know, you can carry them over to next spring and sow them then.
Okay. So you can basically do it next year. There's no problem at all. There's no spot.
Yeah.
And you're talking about early spring in that?
Well, yeah. Well, March, April time for hardy annuals. April for hardy annuals.
Okay. Now, thanks, Maria, for that one. She's off in Rathcoole. Yvonne, I have some phlox, and they have got very tall and big. I'm wondering if I could take them out of the big tub and split them, but I'm afraid they might die. When would be the best time to do this, says Evan and Celia. Yvonne and Celia. Yvonne. That's good. You spelled it wrong. Celia is the person.
Celia. Don't do it now. It's, you know, you're still in the growing season. look, if you're going to split plants or phlox or whatever, you know, I presume it's the perennial phlox she's talking about.
Yep.
Look, if you're going to do it in the when the plant has died back, or when it's gone asleep, not necessarily died away, because even with evergreen herbaceous and that, you can divide in the wintertime, but it's too early to do that now.
Okay, off to Newbridge you go. Paul has a question for us. He says, is it okay to put my potato stalks into my plastic compost bins?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Chop them up a bit. Whenever you're putting anything in the compost bin, actually, if you're pulling, you know, big heavy weeds out or good big leathery leaves or stuff like that, chop them up. Just make sure that, I mean, diseased, we'd prefer not to put diseased leaves in. So if you've got anything like blight on your potatoes now, I'd be inclined not to put them in. But ordinary potatoes, leaves that were healthy and everything like that, you can put them in.
Okay, off we have a question now to regarding peony rows. Will they flower after a few years? I've been minding them very well, but the last 3 years, lots of healthy leaves on, but no flowers. It's into its third year now. Does it need to establish for a few more years before it starts activating the flowers, says Laura. Good one.
I would wonder if it was flowering and it stopped flowering, and she says she's minding it very well. First question I would ask is, are you minding it too well? Because a plant that's very, very well fed, you know, and you keep feeding it and minding it and it's grown and great healthy leaves and everything on it, sure, it couldn't be bothered flowering, because plants flower to reproduce in case they're going to die. But this plant is quite happy in itself and it couldn't be bothered flowering because it's not going to die. So sometimes that can be the cause. Now, the other cause could be that maybe it's in a very shady place and it's not getting enough light. So they're the two main causes that would stop that plant flowering. So ask yourself the question, are you minding it too well? And secondly, is it in the bad place?
Okay. Here's a foliage question for you. Anna's lifting a lot of lily bulbs and she has in her garden and she's putting them into pots, but does she need to cut all the green foliage off first?
No. With anything that's a bulb and throws a nice green stem, you know, you're talking lilies, tulips, daffodils, alliums, all these kind of things, you really should let that foliage die down naturally, because that foliage, all the good in the foliage, all the nutrients are going to die down into the lily bulb and serve as a reservoir of food for the lily growing next year. So if you cut off the green foliage, you're just going to be depleting the lily bulb for next year. I would also have to ask her, is it a little bit early to be lifting them out? Because if they're still growing and not dying back naturally, they're still feeding themselves. Now, they might look a bit unsightly, but you can, if you could leave them where they are, and as the lily stems dies back from the top down, you can trim it down and follow the green down and let it die back slowly. This would be the best way to go. But if you've got to lift them now, okay, lift them, but will you let them die back naturally, please?
Okay. Mark was on. He said he wants to grow some autumn or late autumn and some winter vegetables. What are your suggestions? Also, if you have any suggestions on a variety of cabbage.
I'm really bad. You'd want to have cabbage plants on those in now, you know.
Okay.
It's very late to be putting them in. Now, there are winter potatoes you can get. You can put in some onions. You can certainly be sowing stuff like garlic now, and you can, as I say, you can still be sowing scallions, you know, your spring onions, a few radishes, you can put in lettuce now. But for winter veg, you'd want to be getting plants, good strong plants, certainly at this stage. You're quite late to get them in for your winter cabbage and your, you know, these sorts of winter vegetables. And sort of it's too late to be sowing, you know, your root vegetables like turnips and carrots and these kind of things that you would normally eat during the winter. They would have been sown in the spring.
Okay, off we go to Carmel now. Carmel has a question regarding her geraniums. She says, I've had two very healthy plants with lovely flowers, and I noticed the holes in the leaves, and then the leaves turned brown and shriveled up. And this morning I noticed more holes in another. What can I do, or what can it be? I suppose two questions there. One, what can you do to solve it? And any idea what is causing it in the first place?
Okay, you've got an insect infection on them. But what I would do is, now, you don't usually get aphid infections or things like this on geraniums. They tend not to attack geraniums. But there's plenty of other insects out there that will attack them. What I would do in that case is I would remove any of the leaves, of course, that have curled up, shriveled or whatever, they go. And any of the leaves that you notice holes on, remove them and be vigilant over the next week or so and watch, do you get any new ones? And you can just give a spray over, maybe with a bit of soapy water onto the geranium plant. Not in full sunlight now, but give it a spray over with soapy water and let's try and get rid of what's on it. But, the, you know, I mean, there are sprays, Bug Off and things like this that you can still use. But again, you shouldn't really need to use it. For a couple of geranium plants, remove any infected leaves or any that you feel might just be starting to get infected and feed the plant well, then you should grow it out of it.
Okay, good stuff. And off we go to James now. James is in Maynooth and basically he's got a lovely crop of apples. His big question is, it's the first time in years we've had a load of apples beginning to come through. While they are small at this moment in time, they will probably get bigger, I presume, in the next few weeks or so.
Ah, yeah.
When should I be picking them?
Now, the rule with picking apples is when they're... It depends on the variety. Some of them will ripen at the end of September. Others don't ripen until the frosts in November. So it depends on your variety of apples. But how you know an apple is ripe is if you put your hand under what you think is a ripe apple, lift it upwards, and if it breaks clear of the stem without pulling, then it's ripe. And if it still hangs on and you have to give it a good tug, then it's not ripe. The other way to doing it is just taste the apple. If it tastes sour, it's not ripe yet.
Well, would it be the same rule of thumb for pears?
Not necessarily for pears. That's a general rule for apple. But it would be similar for pears. But pears you would normally pick before they're fully ripe, especially if you want to store them.
Okay. Right, here's a tomatoes question. Tomatoes are not ripening even after all the sun, says Anne.
Neither are mine.
Okay.
I'm waiting and will be waiting.
Is it just patience at this stage?
Yeah. It's a little bit, well, it depends when you sow them, but mine are not nearly ripe yet. It'll be another couple of weeks before mine ripen. I wouldn't worry about it. If they're growing and growing, that's grand. Leave them off. They will ripen.
Okay. Off we go to Pat's apple tree is losing all its leaves, but the apples are staying on it. Can you give him any advice? It's about 3 years old.
Yeah, I would suggest that possibly where it's planted, the ground has dried out there, you know, in that sun that we had, perhaps it's just very free-draining ground and that tree dried out a bit. Now, you could try watering the area just to, you know, I mean, we've had rain and everything like that, but try and not let it, if we get another belt of heat, try and not let it dry out too much because the tree is going into an autumn and you really need foliage on the tree to ripen up those apples, you know, and get them to grow well. So try, I would definitely say it's just a weather problem with the ground and he's into ground that is very free draining and has dried out.
Okay, off we go to Margaret, who's got a question about her plums. She says the plums are looking very scarce this year. Is it a case that the warm weather has affected them?
No. With plums, it is more than likely that the late frost that we got affected them before they set fruit. So the late frost came when they were in full flower and it hit a lot of the buds and thereby they didn't form fruit. The flowers just aborted and fell off. So it's not the hot weather, it's the cold weather. Was it May that we got really cold weather? There was frost. And that's what has affected them. It's the late frost, nothing to do with the heat.
Okay, and there's a couple of two more quick questions. A caller wants to know if you can give her any advice in keeping the cat from using her flower bed as a litter box.
It's difficult, you know. I mean, okay, if you have a couple of thorny shrubs like berberis or, you know, branches of holly or things like this, you could leave a few holly leaves scattered around the bed. They're not very pleasant for a cat to sit on. Or a couple of thorny branches. Now, be careful if you have children around that they're not putting their fingers in on the thorns. Bit of berberis, a couple of thorny leaf things or thorny branch things, and put them in around your flower bed just to discourage where the cat is going. Now there's loads of pepper sprays and all, but basically a big shower of rain and things like that is going to get, you know, is going to wash away the smell. So it's quite difficult. Sometimes the best idea is to actually leave a portion of the bed that the cat can use.
Yeah.
But sort of they tend to move around a bit. So I think maybe holly leaves, this kind of thing in on the bed. Holly leaves go dry and brittle. They're most unpleasant, but be careful of your own hands with the thorns on the holly leaves.
Okay, and one final question regarding growing for next year. This is from Caroline. She wants to know, rule of thumb, what comes out first in early autumn? Is it the crocuses, the snowdrops, or the daffodils, etc.?
Well, you'd have your autumn crocuses, which flower in autumn, but they're a colchicum. They're not strictly a crocus. They flower in the autumn. Usually the first winter ones are the winter aconite and the snowdrops. They would be the first ones. And then they're followed on by your early daffodils, your crocuses, and later on your tulips, muscaris, bluebells, and things like that are quite late on.
And when would you be thinking about getting stuff into the ground if you wanted to have a little bit of winter and early spring flowering?
Yeah, and that's something we should have mentioned. We'll be mentioning it over the next few weeks now. You want to be on the lookout, by the end of August, you want to be on the lookout for bulbs in the garden centres, because you want to get your selection of bulbs in. If you want this continuum of flowering from, say, December on, then you're going to have to look for your bulbs and get the early flowering ones, the medium, the late flowering ones, and maybe layer them in pots. So you'll have your flowering starting late December into January, February, March, April, etc. But you want to be looking for those bulbs at the end of August, early September, because the selection will be gone by the end of September and you'll be stuck with just the basic varieties.
Okay, and one just quick one that came in there, it's not much a question, it's more a comment, but it's to do with what you were mentioning regarding keeping the cats away. And Mary was on with a WhatsApp. She said, if you sprinkle pepper or curry powder around the bottom of the flowers, the cats will sniff, they won't like it, and they'll go away.
They do, but the problem is, when you get a shower of rain, it washes that away. But yes, very effective. And mind you, if you do it two or three times in the same place, it might discourage the cat from going back to that place.
Go back to the location.
Even though it's not there constantly.
Yeah, brilliant stuff indeed. Okay, Yvonne, that was good. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you again next week for the Green Room, and thanks to the Johnstown Garden Centre. Enjoy the weather, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie